Just before I start the sermon, can I say a great big thank you to people who filled shoeboxes? Yesterday, Heather and I were invited over to Terrace Row. Now, we thought we were going to wave bye to the lorry. Actually, we were invited over to help put boxes into the lorry, which was a different story. But they had a huge container lorry, and I stand in awe at people who drive those things. This was winkled in through the car park in Terrace Row, brought up to the fire door in their hall. I would have difficulty putting my car in there, but this guy got the lorry in there. And 305 boxes from here joined. That's them heading off from here. 305 of our boxes joined 5,000, just over 5,000 in the Coleraine area. The lorry in total had almost 10,000 shoe boxes on it and heading off. And an extra £125, so thank you for folks who did that. And that's the last few boxes. This guy had this lorry just measured to a T. We could maybe have got another half a dozen boxes into the back of this lorry, but certainly no more. And the driver there up on the stepladder had it just measured perfectly, knew exactly how many boxes he could get in. So thank you so much. That's almost 10,000 little lives that you have touched. 10,000 children that you will probably never meet, but you have put a smile on their face and love in their hearts. Thank you. Sometimes we sing joy to the world. These boxes, that's what they are. Joy to these children. So thank you. You have made a big difference to 10,000 wee lives in Belarus, Eastern Europe. The boxes are on their way there now. We're told that they will be there last week in December, the first week in January, and my immediate reaction was, oh, they'll miss Christmas. But actually, in Eastern Europe, they celebrate an Orthodox calendar, and their Christmas is on the 6th of January, so they'll be there just in time. As Christmas celebrations happen in Belarus, these boxes will be there. So thank you very much to everyone who's been part of that. Thank you. It is this first Sunday in Advent, and it must be a sign of something. I've just got used to it not being August, and suddenly it's Advent, so I don't know how that has happened, but there it is. And the preparations for Christmas are starting already, and we hear a lot about prophets, but probably Black Friday, just a crazy day, absolutely crazy day, but it's not actually those prophets that we want to think about this morning. It's more of these ones that we're going to think a little bit about. It's not long until the nativity plays actually start. I know some of our children are already starting to rehearse and get ready. I was even told this morning, one wee fellow who's learning the songs for nativity. It's all starting. Carol services, our preparations are underway here. One important component of any Christmas carol service is the reading of some of the prophecies that concern the coming Messiah. So we read some of them, and Jean read one for us this morning. It's from the prophecy of Isaiah, and it simply talks about this one who will come and the difference he will make and the impact that he will have on the world. And we read those every year. Apparently, and I haven't counted them all, so I'm trusting people who have, there are 322 of these prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. 322 promises that this special one would come, this Messiah, this Christ, this anointed one would come. 322 times the Old Testament points forward to Jesus. And that was the job of the prophets. They were to get people thinking, help people realize that God was sending this special one to come, so that the Jews and then later on non-Jews would believe in Jesus, not only as Messiah, but also as their Savior. Now, all those promises were made in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are 52, and again, I haven't counted them, I have to confess, but I'm depending on people who have, 52 prophecies which are fulfilled when Jesus is born. One for each day, each week of the year. 52 promises are fulfilled, 52 prophecies are fulfilled when Jesus is born. And here's a couple of examples. One would be, he would be a descendant of King David. Way back, prophet Isaiah, if you read chapter 11, it says that this child is to be born, this special one, he would be of the line of King David. He would be a descendant of King David. And we go into Matthew's gospel, and one of the very first things we read in Matthew's gospel is that Jesus is born of the line of King David. In Micah, the small prophet, no, I don't know what height he was, the book small is what I meant. He makes this prophecy that this special one, this anointed one, would be born in Bethlehem. And again, Matthew chapter 2, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. There are so many of these prophecies that were made way back, long, long, long before Jesus. Prophecies that come true when Jesus is born. Matthew has a wee phrase that he uses just to help his readers understand what's happening. Matthew says things like, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. So when Matthew looks at the birth of Jesus, he says, do you remember what the prophet said? Well, here it is. Look at Jesus. All of this has taken place to fulfill what the prophet said. And again, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Prophets making promises, and those promises coming true in Jesus. Matthew knew that it was important that the events that he was describing at that first Christmas fulfilled these predictions, these prophecies from the Old Testament. Now, some people look at these and think, well, sure, you could sort of organize things that it would be like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Possibly you could. But it's hard to see. Could Jesus have controlled how these prophecies were fulfilled? No one can really control the circumstances of their birth. No one can control who their ancestors are. No one can control where they're born, and yet Jesus does these things in fulfillment of the Scripture. It doesn't create the actions of others in betraying him later on. He doesn't create his own death. He doesn't create the unused tomb of a wealthy man that his body is put in, and yet all these things have been talked about years and years before Jesus is born. So the prophets make these promises, and the promises are kept in Jesus. So as we hear these prophecies over these weeks leading up to Christmas and at Christmas, how do we respond to them? So what? Let me just give you three short points as to how we respond to these prophecies coming true. The first one is this: we can trust the Bible. These prophecies give us reason to trust that the Bible is inspired by God. Prophecies that are made thousands of years before Jesus, and they come true when Jesus is born. That's how you know a true prophet. What the prophet says happens. That's how you know a true prophet. Timothy, when he writes about Scripture, says all Scripture is God-breathed. It is breathed out, it is inspired by God. So we can trust Scripture, and this is one of the reasons why. The promises that are made come true in Jesus. They're not like the empty promises of campaigning politicians. These are promises that are made and are kept in Jesus. It's God's word, and we can trust it. So let's spend some time during Advent preparing ourselves for Christmas. Let's spend some time reading the Bible, praying that God will speak to us through his word, praying that God will help us live by his word. and we have it. I would be extremely surprised if there is a household here that doesn't have at least one Bible there. Take it down. Start with Matthew's gospel. Read a little bit each day as you move towards Christmas, but spend time with his word because we can trust it. The promises that are made in his word by the prophets come true in Jesus. Let's spend time with his word. The second thing is that all these prophecies point to the fact that Jesus is unique. We praise God for his promises, and we can be confident that God will always be faithful to his word. God is always true to his word. It's interesting, there are no other prophecies that foretell the birth of any other religious leader. There are no other prophecies. There are no other prophecies that point towards any other great person being born like the prophecies that we have for Jesus. Jesus is unique. Everyone else needs a Savior. Jesus didn't need the Savior. Jesus was the Savior. So as we prepare for Christmas, let's ask ourselves the question that Jesus asks his disciples and asks us, who do you say I am? Just a great teacher? A significant figure in history? A leader? Great example? Or the Savior? God's promised one? Who do you say I am? Is possibly the most important question that we will hear from the lips of Jesus. Because it changes our eternal destiny. No one else died for our sin. No one else rose again. No one else will come again to judge this world. Only Jesus. So who do you say he is? In Bethlehem, Jesus was born in that humble stable, almost unnoticed by everything and everyone else, that he was the Savior of the world. Born to die for our sins, born to conquer death, born to give to us the hope of salvation from our sins when we trust in him. Who do you say I am? Trust the Bible. Jesus is unique. And then flowing from both those things, simply this, Jesus is coming back, and are you ready? If we trust the Bible and all of its prophecies coming true in Jesus, we realize that Jesus is unique as God's Son, born as a helpless baby in Bethlehem. But the prophecies go on. The prophecies didn't end with his birth and his death and his resurrection. Jesus spoke so often about the fact that he would return. He would come back. This time, not as a helpless baby, but as the risen, glorified Lord. When we say together the Apostles' Creed, we remind each other that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. He will come not as a helpless babe, almost unnoticed. He will come as the risen and ascended Lord, risen and glorified Lord, to judge this world. And the question is simply, are we ready? Are you ready? Jesus makes it quite clear, nobody knows. Nobody knows the time. Over the generations, lots of people have tried to point to the time and work out exactly when Jesus would come again. And there have been, even in recent years, there have been people who have said, this is the time when Jesus will come. And they've waited, and it hasn't happened. Jesus says, no one knows. So we simply need to be ready. Tony Campolo was an American pastor and writer and academic. He sums it up very well. He says that Jesus never called him to be on the organizing committee of his return. He called him to be on the welcoming committee. And so often we try to organize, we try to work out when it's happening. Jesus simply says, be ready. Be ready to welcome him as your Savior. So as we read and hear the prophets this Christmas time, three responses. Trust the Bible. Jesus is unique. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are the one whose timing is perfect. For our timing is often way out. Thank you that when the time was right, you sent your Son. Thank you, Lord, that we live in a land where we can freely gather to worship. And especially over these weeks, as there are so many nativity plays and carol services and gatherings of different sorts, Lord, as we read familiar words, as we sing familiar words, help us, we pray, to take you at your word and to trust you. To know that Jesus is unique and to bow the knee before him. God's Son, our Savior. Lord, may these days truly be times of preparation in our own hearts and minds. And to you, Lord, be all praise and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to stand together again as we join to sing once more. Behold the mountain of the Lord.